The Sleep Outfitters 4th of July sale is happening now. Save up to $1,000 on Beautyrest Black adjustable sets and experience next-level comfort and support. Plus, enjoy free white glove delivery and setup. But hurry, deals this big won't last long. Only at Sleep Outfitters.
Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favorite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Send me videos of all the kids in assembly screaming my name. That fills me with absolute love and pride. Like, I mean, like, nothing else. And I want to inspire them. I'm just a normal boy from Aldertown.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Big show for you today. Big show. Graham Hunter at 8:15, Gary Neville at 8:45, and James Tracy at 9:05. I don't know why I said his name differently. It's not.
No, I don't think you did. I thought you didn't show any intimidation of the big name. You just read him out like he's the exact same level as everyone else.
Yeah.
And that's right. Don't be scared.
He's human.
Looking forward to Graham. Looking forward to JT taking his little lap of honour.
Yeah.
He told everybody to calm the fuck down.
The beacon of positivity. Says. Threat to Six Nations, wasn't he?
What?
He's a beacon of positivity.
Yeah, glass half full, even after the France game.
It was very difficult to beat.
Sorry, I noted your cursing. Is cursing back?
No, cursing is totally, yeah.
What was that?
I bleeped it. Yeah, you, did you? People suspected that you were away for as long as you were because you'd been fired for the cursing.
this is true, actually, yeah. It did happen.
You weren't, though. You were on holidays, just to clarify that. He wasn't on an enforced suspension. Yeah. Getting suspended on full pay must be great.
Yeah, I know. It is good. Like, it's like you just get rid of the shame and it's no problem. Like that in life, generally speaking.
How do you attain that now?
I don't know. I mean, should we press the boundaries?
Attain a suspension on full pay.
But full pay, though, yeah. So not too bad.
I think an honourable but legally ambiguous interview.
Now I love the civil service, but it's one of those jobs where it's like the unions are so strong they can't fire you, even though everybody knows you're getting fired at some point. But it could be a year, it could be 2 years.
I think
it could be 6 years down the line. I think there's an investigation into you.
You and I could do a paid suspension. I think if we had a real era-defining interview with the sports person that we held to account, and there was so much blowback from it to protect us, they suspended us.
I know they kept we're doing good
pay.
Work,
and we could do it.
So, like,
but then the legal team are involved. It's like, I don't know if could they have asked that. I'm not really sure. I think that's a ticket. It would feel good. Gardening leave is another thing I'd love to be put on at one point. I think you know you've made it if you're on gardening
leave. Is that easy to say as someone that's not on gardening leave? I feel like gardening leave might actually be a pretty depressing place to be because you're just very alone. No?
No, in my mind,
nothing
it's,
to do.
It's between jobs. It's.
Nothing to do except like read books and take long walks and cook and meet your pals and hang out, you know, parent in my case.
I enjoy a
you
schedule.
You play rugby. You enjoy what?
I enjoy a schedule.
Oh, okay. It's a Gen Z thing.
I don't know. Maybe. I just need to be busy.
What did you think of the 30% of Gen Zers think a woman's role is in the home?
Jesus Christ.
What did you think of that?
Where's that from?
What did you think of your boys there?
My boys. I think it's nonsense, obviously.
I know you do. You're one of the good ones. But what's happening?
This is a curveball.
No curveballs today.
Yeah. What do I think is happening?
Yeah, what the hell is going on?
I think.
Why are we going backwards?
Kids online are very easily influenced and they get preyed upon by certain individuals online who kind of present these... on the surface, attractive qualities of fame, rich.
It's entirely down to the manosphere then, is largely attributable to, is what you think. And I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know.
These are your pals, right?
No, I don't know. I'm 24, not 12.
But the most recent survey said that 30% of Gen Zs believe that in a relationship, the man should have the final say on stuff. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, it's nonsense. I don't know.
The boomers came out the best in that, by the way.
Where's this from?
I don't know. It's a big survey. I don't know.
Is it in America?
It was all over the place.
Is this worldwide?
It's a good question. It didn't specify.
I don't know. Like, I think misogyny is definitely alive and well in all societies.
It's growing within your
generational
cohort.
I watched The Manosphere. It was very hard viewing. I don't know if you saw it.
I haven't seen it yet.
Extremely hard viewing, but it's what's going on.
It's interesting because what's going on online is in many ways manufactured, but this is actually manifesting in real life in those surveys. Now, I would need to go back and do a bit more reading on the survey, but anyway.
Yeah.
Right, didn't mean to...
Happy
Thursday, everybody.
No, look, it's important to talk about. I just wasn't expecting it to come up, but I think one of those fellas that does be online in the US is Sneeko, and we've seen a video of him meeting a group of kids, maybe no older than 12 years old, maybe, and they went up to him and, like, we're shouting at him, F the women. And it was like, even he, of all people, was taken aback. And it's like, oof, like, that's how the kids are thinking at that age. That's going to manifest itself in years to come. And that's obviously extremely concerning. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you stop it. Maybe it's kids' access to internet is far too liberated and needs to be cut back. Or I don't know what the fix is, but it is extremely concerning. But anyway. Maybe we should do a piece on it. I don't know what that looks like, but it's important to talk about, though.
Colm, how are you?
Very well, yourself.
Enjoying being back?
Yeah.
I think we landed the big guest for you. What's it going to be? Man United loving, isn't it? Oh, Man United are great now. Everything's fixed in the world.
Well, what would you like to talk to Gary Neville about?
Well, he's obviously got a track record of doing big shows in Dublin. They're on to talk about the overlap, which is on the night before the Ireland game. Himself and Wayne Rooney and Cara being interviewed, herded by Kelly Cates.
Yes. Yes.
Himself and Roy did a roadshow, which you can still see on YouTube, with our pals at Cadbury's in the Bord Gáis Energy.
Legendary show, really, isn't it?
I don't know what year it was. 2018? 2016?
2019.
19?
September.
That kind of, that's the blueprint for a roadshow, isn't it? That set the tone.
We'd done the Three Arena before that for the Rugby World Cup. Tom Dunn sang us off with Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, and then Argentina smashed us. But yeah, I'm interested in the career that he's forging away from football. I feel like there's something, England's at a very interesting point, an inflection point in its own history and world history. You see the fallout with Trump. Whoever comes next may feel the same about its relationship. Nigel Farage's standing off. I'm like, what's Gary? Gary's interested. He's politically aware.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's preparing for a political career. Might ask him about that. What do you want to talk to him about?
I want to talk to him about Michael Carrick and then the rise in criticism of his generation, of his era, class of 92, that they're seen to have this agenda against Manchester United. And I'd like to talk to him about the best wingers he came up against. He touched on Romario on his podcast. And incidentally, in this week's episode of his podcast of Stick to Football, he's wearing a Cork City jersey in the promo picture of it. I believe Roy Keane's buddies were in the house and they presented Gary with the jersey.
It's not a retro one though, is it?
No, I think it's the...
I find that very... It's just the season.
I believe it's the seasons. So he's in that picture. So, I mean, like, it's great timing in that regard. And the thing about Gary Neville is, like, you know, it's a bit like Gary Lineker in that he's become such a prominent media figure that with increasing passing of time, we talk less about the footballer and more about the person that we see now. You could say that's just timing anyway, but him as a right back, you know, where does he fall for you among the greats? You know, I saw that he interviewed Kyle Walker, for instance. It's released this week. And a lot of the comments are, you know, two of the great right backs talking there to each other. I don't know if it's a bit, you know, Lineker's goal record was absolutely sensational, this guy. And he did it in the mainland European continent with Barcelona. And with Gary Neville, it was, you know, I kind of forget, was he playing way above the station? Or was he actually excellent? I think there's a split jury there. And it's mostly United fans saying he was class, and non-United fans saying he did very well for himself.
Where does he rank all-time right-backs? Like, straight up world football? Is he top 10?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard for all time. Like, in terms of what I've watched, you've seen onwards. I don't know. Like, you're probably straight away, you're going Cafu.
Yeah.
Seamus Coleman.
Yeah.
You're going probably Kyle Walker himself, Trent Alexander-Arnold, a bit more to his game, probably. What are great right backs? Like, you got like Michel Salgado played in a great, so was he a great right back? That's kind of the conversation with Gary Neville.
Yeah.
Do you know who might give you good context on that? Would be Graham, who has seen a lot of English and European football.
Yeah, this is what we'll be doing with throughout the show today. Like, but yeah, like you know, name better right backs than Gary Neville, and I'm sure the comment section will be filled with suggestions. But I just, you know, the memory of him is his partnership with David Beckham on the right, overlapping, often used as a decoy runner. Gary Neville often never got the ball when he ran.
Yeah,
but when he did, he crossed in a mean ball. And do you know what? He was trusted at a very young age. Euro 96. Terry Venables started him in those games. He's only a pup.
What age was he?
Well, you would have been probably 20, 21 maybe at a push. Started as a centre half, you know. Moved to right back. Wasn't tall enough. Never envisioned himself playing right back.
I wonder when he plays centre-back now. Obviously, there was loads of football last night.
There was plenty. This first half of Barcelona and Newcastle last night reminded me a bit of the end of France-England and the Six Nations weekend. Just end-to-end. Everyone losing the power to defend and the ability to mark your own territory.
Yeah.
Barcelona's outrageous highline. Richard Dunn on Virgin Media at halftime described it as footballing suicide, what they were doing, Barca. Wait. And we've seen this before. This is the Hansi Flick method. And they're again, I thought to Graham about this.
They're playing Atleti in the next round.
And I think
that's not great for Barcelona. They should have just fixed it so it's PSG versus Barcelona, so we get to see that over two legs. Because that could be 14-13.
I believe El Clasico is on this weekend. Or it's the Madrid derby. Anyway, there's a massive game coming up. There's loads of big games for those teams involved in both Europe and domestic duties at the moment. Unbelievable match last night, right? End to end.
Real Madrid, Atletico, yeah. Barca playing Vallecano.
Yeah.
Vallecano.
Madrid derby this weekend.
Yeah.
And I loved it. It was 3-2 at half time. But Newcastle did very well and missed a few chances themselves. It was a weird game. And that second half, Barca win 4-0. Eddie Howe just had to explain it afterwards that we didn't defend properly. But no one was defending at all well at one point in that game, towards the end of that first half. And that's the magic of the madness of it. I love it. That's exactly what I loved about England-France at the weekend.
Yeah. I thought Dan Byrne was actually quite good in that first half, but then you look at the end scoreline, you're like,
unbelievable block on Lewandowski.
Yeah.
But he was at fault for one of the goals. Yeah. He dropped deep and everyone else pushed out, and he was going mad at everyone else too afterwards. And they made a change at halftime then, Newcastle. They've had a weird week, like, because they went to Stamford Bridge and won. Kind of felt good about themselves then. I saw that scoreline when I was away, and I thought, like, you can't read Newcastle, you know, just when you think they're going one way or the other, they'll bring it back in some capacity. And the last night was kind of a symbol of their season, wasn't it? First half, that's what they can do. Second half, that's also what we have seen with them. They go man to man and they just get destroyed.
I saw somebody in the match report of that Chelsea game talking about, oh, you know, if they'd lost this, they would have been out of the battle for fifth. I was like, that's nonsense. And then you look at it and they're actually only 7 points behind Liverpool at the moment.
Yeah.
Now, I don't expect them to go on a run where they win 8 games in a row, which they probably need to do to, maybe they don't. Everybody dropping points with the caveat that Liverpool looked great last night. Are Liverpool all the eggs in the Champions League basket and actually dangerous in this competition? Or are Liverpool just awful?
I don't know. Because the Premier League has been a bit humbled this week. It only Arsenal and Liverpool remain in the Champions League now. But at the same time, I don't know. The Liverpool find Premier League games much more challenging than Champions League ones.
Well, they were terrible in the
first leg. It's easier to play Galatasaray than it is most teams in the Premier League.
At home, because, hey, they weren't good.
Exactly. So that's because it's an incorrect analysis of the situation is that the truth about Liverpool is that they're wildly inconsistent. A more box office version of Newcastle that we just mentioned. And then how about Spurs? Igor Tudor's first win in the night. They won, but they lost. But it was much improved. And the teams were named, right? There was no Dominic Solanke and no Richarlison in the squad. They're going to lack firepower up front. And then you finally see the Xavi Simons that you had heard of for the last few years.
On, yeah.
Because when they signed him last summer, I thought, that's not a bad signing. And then Randall Colomwani, the world has seen him already with France. So these are pretty good signings. And the boys showed up last night. Now you could question, as we did pre-show, we're chatting amongst ourselves, is the Spurs showing up when the spotlight is on them? Champions League, big games, big occasion at Anfield at the weekend, the Premier League. Or maybe they're just finally, gradually, delayed themselves getting together.
Maybe. Also, the pressure was off in many ways because the keeper had thrown two in and Van de Ven had thrown one in the previous game. It was over. Too.
I thought that was a bit overblown, Kinski. I thought it was just one was terrible. But he slipped. Like one of them, he just slipped.
Yeah.
Like last night, Lewis Hall slipped.
Overblown by who?
The
manager or...
Online reaction mostly, and then taking him off. I was actually chatting with our own friend Barry Murphy while over there about this. And this is goalkeeper. I was goalkeeper. Yeah. And he said, that's ruined that guy forever, taking him off. But at the same time, Barry said he wanted to be take off.
He had to go,
he couldn't stay.
Same.
He couldn't stay. He couldn't stay on the pitch out of fear of any shot at all coming towards him. That exactly. Would go in.
Think about the great recovery it's going
to
be.
I just thought, obviously the one where he messes up completely, where he tries to pass across and just gives him the ball for a tap-in. But I thought the first one, he slipped. Whatever. He slipped. As I said, there was two slips last night for one of Barcelona's goals.
Graham was telling us about Atletico's pitch is awful, and people in the league tend to fall and slip on it. And that's known around the league that bring different studs when you're playing Atletico away. It's a bad pitch. So, they didn't do their homework.
The value, or the value of experience, next time they go through there and someone had to slip so other people can walk.
Anyway, look, Spurs, they weren't bad last night at all. So, there is something in them. And that's the thing, again, it's a summation of, I think, where English football is at the moment is that Arsenal are the outlier, right? But I don't think anyone is atrocious, right? In terms of all the teams that we talk about all the time, okay? Nobody's actually terrible. And at the same time, no team is really that convincing that they're any good.
Yeah.
You'll get reminders of it every so often that Spurs are the laughingstock of football. This time last week, without a doubt, everyone's pissing themselves laughing at Spurs and they're going to go to Anfield and they're going to get hockeyed. That's 1-1. And they play Atletico Madrid. And Atletico Madrid should be far superior than Spurs. Whatever about the aggregate scoreline going into that game, 3 goals up and all that. Obviously, it wasn't the most intense version of Diego Simeone's side. And Spurs took advantage of it. But they had to be, in some way, good enough to take advantage of it. There is a level there. And it's easy to say, no, they're rubbish. Atletico just weren't having it. They weren't up for it. And Spurs took advantage of it because Atletico were so rubbish. No, they actually played a bit of ball. But the problem is you can't trust any of these teams.
None of them.
Yeah. You can't trust any of them to keep it up.
Sorry, the playing a bit of ball thing is also, they're playing a bit of ball against a team who are 3-0 up. Do you know? So there's context to it.
There's context, yeah, but I think that's an oversimplification of it.
Maybe.
In my opinion. Because I still think Atletico obviously have a base level of quality that you have to be good enough to breach.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's you can't throw anyone into that situation and they're going to take advantage and score a goal or two. So obviously there is some semblance of ability at Spurs.
Still
it's just
convinced.
Everyone's kind of written them off and it's you can't talk about them in any positive way.
Yeah, I'm still not convinced they're not terrible though. They have been terrible.
Yeah,
they
have a great ability to be atrocious regularly.
Yeah.
They can also, if they want.
Can I ask then, we went through some questions. Will Spurs get relegated?
No. I'd be shocked.
So you're
shocked the Spurs went down.
There's enough that you've seen in those.
Yeah,
I
think that's more the default 3 worse than Spurs. I don't think they'll go down.
All right.
But then again, look, I have a bet on that Liam Rossini will be Chelsea manager next March. So
next March,
that's when we made this bet.
How many sagres or tequilas?
It's irrelevant. It was a bet was made under good intentions, but my winnings will be a lot higher than the other person's if I'm right.
You owe him 100. He owes you a grand.
No. Fuck it then. I only have to pay a tenner.
You got 10 to 1.
I'll get 100, yeah.
I mean, obviously, no one will pay that.
Oh, he'll pay.
He won't.
He'll pay.
As he says he will.
It's going to show up at his door.
He'll pay.
Never pay. People never pay. Okay.
He'll pay.
The headlines, Slot gets the thumbs up. The Liverpool fans are feeling themselves. Mo Salah. Oh, Mo. Penn miss Salah. Fires stunner as cop go through as the Sun. Return of the King. Oh, has it, Salah has his mojo back. Salah got his mojo back. Yeah. Rampant Reds. So the quarterfinal draw is genuinely a brilliant quarterfinal draw. Paris Saint-Germain, Liverpool. Mm-hmm. First leg in Paris on the 8th of April. Real Madrid, Bayern Munich. First leg in Madrid, 7th of April. Barcelona, Atleti, Beauty and the Beast. That has like multiple sendings off and a conflagration of violence. And then Sporting, first leg at home against Arsenal. Yeah, it's all coming up. Arsenal, Barca semi, Arsenal, Atleti semi. Arsenal straight through to the final?
I don't trust them.
Yeah.
In Europe, they've been pretty good.
They've been good, yeah.
Okay.
I could see that first leg, so that's in Lisbon, that first game. I could see them going down a few goals, because that's a hard place to go. Bodo got absolutely smashed when they went there. And I don't think Arsenal are the type of team in a second leg to pull it out the fire.
Maybe.
When it comes down to it.
I think they'll beat Sporting, all right. I think they'll get to the semi.
They should. They absolutely should. Yeah. They're a much better team.
I trust them in those type of games, actually, this version of Arsenal. I don't think they'll have a problem against Sporting overall. But semi-final, yeah, I don't know. I'd be very surprised. I just can't imagine them being in the final. But then again, look, this could be the season that changes everything. They have their first final this weekend, the Carabao Cup.
Yeah.
Against Manchester City on Sunday.
With arrested Erling Haaland, who was taken off with 15 minutes to go in the game.
That was put to Pep, wasn't it? And he said, well, the game was over.
I wanted to arrest him.
Yeah.
But look, this could be the season that changed everything for Arsenal. So who knows? They could do the unprecedented quadruple.
You weren't here last week, but Vinny was telling us that he expects Robbie Keane to be a manager in the Premier League next year.
Yeah.
At Crystal Palace, essentially.
Okay.
Knocked out of the Europa League last night, 4-0 by Porto. No, Braga. Sorry, Braga. Porto is in action tonight. So they were 2-0 up from the first leg in Budapest, beating 4-0 last night, 4-2 in aggregate. Callum O'Dowd had played the full 90. Will Callum O'Dowd be in the Ireland squad? No? Matthew?
He was in his long list of possibilities yesterday. Very long list.
Who is in the Ireland squad, we know, is Harvey Vail. And we know this because QPR put up a social media post congratulating him on getting into the squad and then took it down after they were told by the FAI, we think, lads.
Oh, so funny.
This isn't your first rodeo. You've got other Ireland internationals there. You know that we tell you the squad before it actually gets announced.
Yeah.
But you were saying that maybe somebody scheduled it on Sprout a day early.
Yeah, I think literally is that pressing the wrong date on the Twitter schedule and it slipped out, but... Yeah, it's good to see that he's in the squad, I suppose. I don't know. Does he play? That's the thing. Like, how do you come in and improve yourself? Do you have to just absolutely play lights out in training?
I think he plays if we're 2-0 down, yeah. Or he plays if we're 3-0 up.
Yeah, yeah. He'll come on as part of a double or triple substitution, I think.
Yeah.
He won't be a sole sub being brought on. Yeah. Yeah, it could just be he'll be there and he'll be on the bench. We might not see him at all.
Mikey Johnson is injured, obviously.
So. Yeah, Mikey J's gone.
Alan Brown also expected to be in the squad, so.
Yeah.
There's no sign of Dizzy, though, we don't think.
No sign of?
Dave McGoldrick?
No. Sammy Smodic is back.
Yeah. Yeah, would he be a cultural fit for this team?
Vail, Smodic, Johnny Kenny. This is the predicted squad from John Fallon, who you'd expect to have it right.
Yeah.
Festi, Shio Ogbene, Adam Ida, Troy Parrott. I do wish that Troy would just get a little stomach bug, Maria, this afternoon and be like, I'm not playing against a Czech team a week after playing against a Czech team. Do you remember, I don't know if everybody remembers this, but the Battle of Bayonne,
yes,
right?
Yes, what was in my head, yeah.
The Battle of Bayonne is Ireland do a rugby friendly before the World Cup, and it degenerates into an absolutely massive row. Our best player has his face broken by a punch, a sucker punch.
Mm-hmm.
Who was in our group? whoever hit the sucker punch was from the country that we were playing in the group. And you're like, oh, that's a good idea. And Ireland played a football friendly before the 2002 World Cup against a Japanese team, and there was a Cameroon international in the middle of it who took out Jason McAteer. Sorry, I was confusing my pre-massive tournament warm-up friendlies with, it's like, that's not a good idea. We shouldn't have been playing anyway.
The Balbe on as well was because it was in France, obviously, so France were, those players were targeting us, and it was Wayne Barnes' first ever game.
So it was definitely some like, anyway, it didn't make sense then. Look, if he gets the shits today, Maria, who's going to check? Troy,
who's going to check?
You just say it and you go, oh, look, I can't do this. Like,
no, I don't get the shits.
Pretend.
Don't get the shits, Troy.
Pretend.
Oh, pretend shits.
The Maria bit. No one's going to check. Did you hear the Maria?
Yeah, I get you now. Because I really thought he was like, I'd rather him sick than play.
I'd rather not play against a bunch of Czech lads who are not going to, you know, well, I can't affect my country's outcome in the playoffs, but I can. Hey, look, just got your knee there, boy.
Yeah, it's an audition for some players to make the World Cup. Look what I've done for the country. Should they make the World Cup?
Look what I did for the country.
Bad feeling about it, though.
No. No. I'm saying that out loud so it doesn't happen. It's the reverse jinx. The most famously successful thing in sport.
Yeah, the era.
So one thing, professional footballers are proficient in injuring lads. They can do it. They know what to do to keep someone out.
We don't think this is going to happen, though.
No, he's going to...
If you say it constantly, I don't think it will. Because you sleepwalk into these things where you wake up tomorrow and he's like, oh, he's cracked himself. Oh, no. Now, there's a world here where he plays well and scores and just they leave him alone. And then he's riding real high.
They've another game the weekend as well.
That's the best case. Yeah, and then he plays that and he scores another couple and they take him off in the 72nd minute. Best of luck, Troy. See you when you're back.
Yeah.
That's what that's what I think.
It's 0-0 on aggregate coming into this game, so
it'd be tight. Ideally, Troy keeps playing. Doesn't want to break.
Ah, yeah. I know.
Get your momentum in.
We're a trauma-infected race of people.
Yeah.
We carry with us many different traumas that we should probably learn to let go of.
Yeah, I mean, there's no... you don't want to manifest this, right? But you do... what is the alternative without Troy, you know? You have to be thinking of a team then. Then it gets real tough.
Do not think
real, it gets real tough, actually, to come up with your attack.
So Ede is in the squad, but we don't know if he's actually 100% fit, do we?
We suspect he isn't 100% fit, but he'll be...
He's there,
he'll be ready to go off the bench for 20 minutes when we need... He'll be ready to go for penalties.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Dermot Keenan pointing out Finn Azaz scored again last night. Finn Azaz in the form of his life.
10 goals on the season, yeah. We don't really need him for that, but it'd be great if he pitched in with a goal or two, obviously. But it'd be interesting to see where he puts him. So with that kind of, that shallow midfield that we have at the minute, does he play him out wide again? He's much better down there or through the middle, but he might be forced to play him on the right side. So.
No. Anyway, those quarterfinal draws for the Champions League, which is what we were talking about before we went down a little sinkhole of despair. They're good draws.
Yeah. I've won 30 enjoying this Champions League, and the league phase is worth it for me when you get to this part of it. I don't even mind the blowout at this point. Just like watching goals, for instance. Did you see Harry Kane's goal?
I didn't actually.
Yes. Oh my God.
He had to retake a penalty that was missed. Generous. Goalkeeper jumped off the line, retook that, scored. And then he gets his 50th Champions League goal, which is what Salah also got last night. Landmark there for himself. Kane's goal, beautiful turn in the box. Loses to Atalanta boys, who at this stage are well beaten. I mean, this finished 10-2 in aggregate.
Yeah.
Finds a top corner. A lot of top corners being found this week in the Champions League. Hence the peak of the game.
Barcola. The other night, yeah.
Top corners found. Harry Kane's a beautiful finish. And I have a Spurs fan in my life, right? Who for years was convinced that Harry Kane was actually on a widely extended purple patch. And wasn't actually a great player. And it took him, I would say, up until about 2019-20 to finally admit that he is great. Because do you remember when Harry Kane came through and he was loaned out several times? He went in goal in a European game.
Yeah.
And they had no keeper. He was kind of seen as a young fella who was doing his best.
Yeah.
What a glow up.
Not elite.
Not elite. And now you look at him at Bayern doing that. I was looking at his teammates, their reaction when he scores that goal last night at the top corner. They look away like, poof, as if to say, like, this guy does this on the regular. We see this every day. He's doing this. He keeps him getting better,
he's good.
Better, and he has this motivation to keep going all the time. An unusual kind of career in that he stays a long time with this one club.
Yeah, stays, what he does, because he obviously could move this summer if he wanted to.
I for one, I remember when he went to Bayern, I thought, I'm not sure that's the best option. He could have gone anywhere, really. Bayern was like, he'll clean up domestically and they might not be good enough to win Europe. What's he going to do there? But no, he's actually, well, he's carved himself as a great at another club.
He's raised his profile.
He's going
yeah.
to be, how many players are great at more than one club?
Can I ask you about the tournament as it stands now, right? So you wouldn't be terribly surprised if anybody, maybe with the exception of Sporting, were to actually win it, right? But at the end of last year's tournament, we were like, oh, Paris Saint-Germain were so clearly the best team in it. It became obvious. Now, Captain Obvious says that after they win the final 5-0 with a record-breaking performance. But who's the best team left?
I would say I'll still go Paris Saint-Germain, with the asterisks next to them that, like, you can get it. You can get it.
But significantly better than everybody else?
No, you said better, right? That was the first point.
Yeah, but yeah, better. I would say,
yeah, marginal. I would say marginal. And every time we have this discussion, every year at this time, I always default
to Real Madrid.
To Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Just like, I talk about trust.
Yeah.
I always trust whatever version of Real Madrid. They have a rookie manager. It's not the vintage Real Madrid squad.
Loads of injuries.
And I still think I trust them when it comes to it.
I suppose we can ask Graham that.
Yeah. But like the Champions, like it is a weird one because we were saying this yesterday about Pep's record in it with Man City, just the one win. But you have a huge entity like Barcelona haven't won the thing in, it'll be 11 years this year if they don't win it. That's crazy. And that was a real vintage side. That's when they had Messi, Suarez and Neymar. That 2015 team that beat Juventus. Bayern, as I say, the last time they won it in the Champions League format that we know, that's 2013. That was against their own Borussia Dortmund. They won it in 2020 under Hansi Flick. But that was that weird COVID, first COVID Champions League where, do you remember there was a hiatus like
City.
In all-out sport?
No.
No, they beat Paris Saint-Germain in the final. Neymar's PSG. Managed by Thomas Tuchel, who was in a boot on the side, I think. And that was that Champions League when it turned. There was no second legs. There were one-off knockout games.
And who do you want to see win it?
Want to is an interesting question.
Was that all? That was that.
Well, I mean, like
was that tournament all in one place. Was there?
I don't know. Yeah, it might have been.
Was there a bubble?
I think it was restricted. Yeah, I think the location. People might remind us there of where it was. In the 2020 Champions League knockout games.
So the semi-finals will be the winner of Paris Saint-Germain versus Liverpool.
Yeah.
Against Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. So Paris Saint-Germain, Real Madrid would be great. Everybody wants to see, I think, Paris Saint-Germain team go through it if they beat Liverpool. But if Liverpool were to win, Liverpool, Real Madrid or Liverpool, Bayern, also pretty high-end stuff.
Yeah. Well, there's no bad games, I don't think.
I do want to see Paris Saint-Germain, Real Madrid. And I do want to see Barcelona play Arsenal over two legs because that is the next definition of Beauty and the Beast.
I'd like to see PSG in the final.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Against. Well, if they get.
Who can they get today?
Well, at that point, it's PSG, Barcelona.
Yeah, that's great.
Or Arsenal.
I'd take PSG, Barcelona. No, I don't mind. I wouldn't mind it for Harry Kane in the Champions League. I like Harry Kane. I actually like the Bayern squad. They have load. I was looking at their bench last night because I'd say the rest of a few lads because they were so far ahead. Their bench is class. And their manager, I think Vincent Kompany, I think it's a great story because the guy was much maligned after what happened at Burnley. I'm sure Burnley fans aren't the biggest fan of Vincent Kompany, but he's done remarkably well at Bayern. It's a really difficult competition to retain.
Is there somebody in this show gives out about what are you doing that for? It's not for the club, it's for your own benefit. Was there somebody? Somebody says this a lot. What are you doing playing that style of football at Burnley?
Oh, we had a Russell Martin debate about that.
I'm getting the Bayern Munich job there.
It's difficult to retain the Champions League, right? So Real Madrid there. Do you remember they won the three in a row? From 2016 to 18. And then before that, I think you have to go back to Milan, 1990. Right. Very difficult to win it twice in a row. And so I'd be interested to see if PSG could do that. It doesn't feel like they're quite as good as they were last season. I'm not mad about their goalkeeper, but unconvincing.
Safanov, yeah.
But I don't have a strong... There's no one that I would hate to see win it besides, like, you know, I'd rather not Liverpool, like, but... I don't mind. I just want good games.
Yeah.
I'm still a bit like the Inter-Barcelona semi-final last season was amazing. And I was delighted on the night that Inter went through. But in hindsight, we were robbed of a Paris Saint-Germain-Barcelona final. Because that final was a no-show by Inter. So anyway, I've enjoyed this season's Champions League. Even Bodo glimpsed that story of what they did and then their capitulation. There's like a story everywhere. I'm not saying it's quite the Six Nations of this year, but there, I think there's a lot of excitement.
It's only getting to the best part
now. Because, you know, people are complaining a lot about football at the moment. And in some cases, a lot of the times, justifiably so. Some games are dull. They are a war of attrition. There is a lot of physicality and set-piece heaviness rather than the tiki-taka beautiful football that we've seen before. Again, maybe Graham could talk about this. But it's all worth it. You just have to wait. It's worth it.
Yeah, and I think that there are elements of Arsenal that have actually improved in terms of the quality of football that they're playing in recent weeks.
Yeah, I think people have made up their mind about Arsenal.
They're better to watch.
But it was like, but they're rubbish, don't watch any of their games. And they will do the odd bit of beautiful play.
If you don't give them a corner, they might not be able to use their corner routines against you.
Sorry, this is my name. It was on my algorithm yesterday. And I was showing this footballer that I'd never heard of before. Did you ever get that excitement about a player that you would never, literally had never heard of before doing something unbelievable for a team of renown? I was like, who is this guy? Addy Coker is this guy's name, right? Now, this is, this doesn't have to go anywhere, this, by the way. Don't worry about it. Like, we can move on straight away. But I'd just like people to look up Addy Coker. A-D-E-C-O-K-E-R. Played for West Ham. Only 10 times in the mid-1970s, right? I was minding my own business, doom scrolling there on Instagram, and I was showing this guy who does this unbelievable piece of skill on the left flank for West Ham against Crystal Palace in the mid-1970s. It's unbelievable. And I'd never heard of him. And I sent it on to all the football men in my life. Not one person had heard of this guy. Because he only played 10 times for West Ham over a number of years. Nigerian guy. Ended up playing 10 times for the US team. Bit of an American cult hero. A journeyman after West Ham. But the skills he was doing...
Do you know what happened to him?
Way ahead of his time. Apparently he's an indoor football legend. I think he was more of a skills-based player than an 11-a-side one, but West Ham tried him out because he had something a bit different. And throughout this conversation, I have had this clip playing on repeat in front of me, because it's only 5 seconds, and he skins this Palace centre-half 3 times. Now, the problem with the problem, maybe the problem that he even played 10 times is he's going past the same player every time.
Well, I think the other problem is that that player, within the rules of the time, will be allowed to break both his ankles and everyone will go, well, he deserved that because he humiliated him. As opposed to, we need to protect this guy because of the quality of entertainment that he's bringing to our lives.
It was an embarrassment, yeah. You can't have a lad coming over here doing that in our game. I can only imagine would be a fair assumption of what the attitude was in the 1970s.
He went between indoor and, I'm just looking here, and normal football. Yes. So he was swapping, like.
He was in and out. I've never heard of this guy. Addy Coker. Beautiful skills. Smile to my heart, metaphorically. You know, that's all.
Yeah, I know. That's not metaphorically.
You think someone out there might know Addy Coker?
Your heart is smiling.
Addy Coker's alive and well, I think. And they might know him. And for all you know,
get in touch.
He'll start something. You know what I mean? That's what it's all about.
Did you see Rory McIlroy's menu?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I heard the lads talk about it last night and a bit of chatter there in the office this morning about it too. I got hungry hearing it. That's the biggest compliment I can give it.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
The appetizers: peach and ricotta flatbread, rock shrimp tempura.
Tempura, I love, yeah. Any tempura, any batter on something. It's class.
I would say not in shrimp. I'd say good fresh shrimp.
I'll have it all day. Would you be a tapas guy?
Yeah, love tapas, yeah.
Spanish cuisine. A brief question. There's one place there in Spain, it's quite common in some places, Andalusia, you order a pint and they'll give you food. They'll give you a little plate of something.
Yeah.
And it's like our version of peanuts or whatever. And they'll just, but it'll be a nice little bit of meat or fish with your pint.
Right.
And just class, like, because then you want to stay.
Yeah.
It's good. Definitely want to stay. Pints.
It slows down. You're getting pissed.
I'd say it would change the culture overnight.
Yeah.
Change the culture of drinking in Ireland.
If you like that type of food, Bar Pez in Dublin city centre.
Is that what they do?
Yeah. High end stuff at the moment.
It's high end. I don't want high end. I'm talking about like down there. You can do it anywhere.
But if you like the food, it's very good.
I know. I just like that. The culture change.
You set yourself up by saying high end.
High end just means good. Doesn't mean expensive.
Ooh. Mm. I think it's a bit of both.
Well, this show is high end when it goes well.
Yeah,
we bring you high end guests.
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
all right. You're just maybe the tyranny of low expectations is an issue around here. That's all. Bacon wrapped dates. The other thing I would say is like dates, amazing, but you don't need to be wrapping them with bacon. That's
There was a bit of doubt that there last night. We were talking about that. Daniel Pitcher was on the news round was saying I wouldn't be having dates at all.
Oh, dates are amazing.
But, I think it was Owen and our Arthur retorted with the pro dates.
Grilled elk sliders. He was saying that he's been into his elk just before the Masters last year. He got a big shipment of elk.
Yeah.
I was eating a lot of that. I don't know what that looks like when you're Rory McIlroy. How big is a big shipment? Because everything is kind of outsized. You know, he lives in a massive gated community with like, you know. And then, they've repeated the flatbread there. The first course is yellowfin tuna carpaccio, but there's foie gras on it. Like, that just seems like a little bit of overkill, but apparently it's a dish right from his favourite restaurant in New York,
right?
Which he always has. And then you saw the wine is like 11, 1200 quid a bottle. A 1990 Chateau Lafite from Pauillac. Given to him, a bottle of it was given to him by Shane Lowry. He's like, yeah, I like that. I love that.
Is it the same chef every year? Do we know?
I think you can bring a chef. If you want,
bring your own chef.
Say that they obviously have a good catering.
Yeah.
I'm sure the executive chef at Augusta National is, you know, he's like, yeah, I can do whatever you want, Rory. If you want to bring somebody into my kitchen, it's like bringing home a second wife.
Mm.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, what if the chef is like, nah, I don't make shrimp. Shrimp's not my thing.
I don't think you can say
that. Replace that chef, I'd say, fairly swiftly. is there anything you can't eat?
No.
Are you able to have all that? That's good. Well, incidentally, you'll have to think about this. What's instinct choice of yours if you were choosing? You've won the Masters, what's your menu? You want to think about it, I understand that. What's instinct?
I was just a little bit disappointed to see he went with Wagyu beef. I think it would have been a good opportunity to have a bit of Irish beef there.
All right.
Some County Down stuff if he wants.
Oh, I thought you were a man of the world. I thought you didn't mind where something comes from.
I know, but it's good.
Like.
No, local. Local is best, obviously. Yeah, you know, and you want to tell everybody our beef is the best, which it is.
All right, fair enough. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. What about yourself?
I don't like
the steak tartare and Bar Pez.
Where is that?
Corner.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I had steak tartare once. I ordered it.
Not knowing what it is exactly.
And the waitress is like, are you sure? You sure you want this? It's like, I do, yeah. It really is freezing. Really cold, like cold, this tartare. It was unusual to the palate, and it looks as if it will make you sick.
It's mince.
Exactly. Mm.
Very little mince.
Very little steak.
I'm not overly adventurous with foods, I have to say. Might surprise you.
What?
Yeah.
Has there been a day since you started here that you haven't had a chicken fillet roll for lunch?
Jeez, that's a very personal attack. Yes, there has been, yeah. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just
very Irish. That's all. You're like, you know, man of the people.
Yeah. Fund the local businesses like Centra. Is that local? Is Centra local? I don't know. I'd eat most of that menu. I don't like shrimp though. I don't like shrimp.
Good to go.
We are good to go, yeah.
What's on your menu? Quickly.
Quickly? Well, say quickly.
We're going to get to Graham's now in a second.
Graham's listening. Graham can hear all this.
I know, and you're worried now.
Graham Hunter can
now,
listen.
I'm not worried about Graham's judgment. He's going to judge your menu and you're like, oh shit, no, I don't want to do it now.
I'm not worried about Graham's judgment, but I'd like tapas to start. Okay? This is on. You give it. This is no so
you
time
say,
to think.
You say tapas. Like,
no time to think.
I'd like.
No time to think.
I'd like Spanish food to start. But what specifically?
I'll get back to you because I'm concentrating on. I want steak for the main, right? But I'm talking top of the range. Okay.
Wagyu filet mignon.
It might be Wagyu. As in, I would do the research to find out what's the quintessential steak around the world.
So you're not going to put it on the menu because you
steaks all day.
Do you put it on the menu because you like it, or you think the guests will like it?
Oh, it's definitely. I like it. Yeah, because I think if you're trying to please everyone,
you're the champ. You've got the green jacket on.
Yeah,
it's your party, buddy.
You're screwed. Yeah.
Is anyone leaving like their plate full, being like,
maybe?
Oh, yeah, loads of loads of picky eaters.
We went. Yeah.
Lots of golf picky eaters.
Yeah, we went
like, look, this. We can't believe we did this.
We went lamb for the wedding. And
people didn't like the lamb.
I think a lot of people didn't. And the chef was like, go for the lamb because the lamb's local over the beef.
Was this in Ireland?
Yeah. Yeah.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.